Matthew 28 and verse 1, the Word of God reads, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to the end of verse 10. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," or Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer as we ask God's blessing upon his word. Our Father, we thank thee for the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that on the first day of the week we are reminded that the grave could not hold him, that death could not hold him, that he arose victorious and triumphant. Father, it's even greater than that. He arose victorious and triumphant on our behalf. We pray that as we look into thy word this morning, that our hearts may be challenged and thrilled and excited by the fact that Jesus is alive. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to do with you this morning is to look at the proof of the resurrection. For there are many today who would challenge the biblical account. And then I want to look with you at the power of the resurrection. Do we really know what the truth is? Do we really know that Jesus is risen from the dead? Well, you can say, yes, we have the Bible account. You know, there was a man who left his employment and he decided he was going to spend his life disproving the resurrection. He was going to show the holes and the inaccuracies and the inconsistencies in the Bible accounts. He was going to go and get all the other historical documents, and he was going to prove once and for all that Jesus could not possibly have risen from the dead. As he told a friend, if I can disprove the resurrection, Christianity will fall down, because it's upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Christianity stands or falls. He did just what he determined to do. He examined all the evidence. Biblical evidence, historical evidence. And he wrote a book, and the book is called Who Moved the Stone? And if you ever have the privilege of reading that book, you will find that one of the first things he says is, the more I examined the evidence, the more convinced I became that Jesus is alive. And though I tried to fight against the truth, the day came when the Jesus I had sought to destroy drew me to himself and saved me by his grace. Beloved, the evidences for the resurrection of Jesus Christ are overwhelming. You begin with the empty tomb, and we'll come back to that a little later. But the very fact that Jesus was not in the tomb points to the fact that he is risen from the dead. You have the eyewitness accounts. You have the angelic messages. You know, I want to look with you today at what I think is one of the greatest proofs. The effect upon the lives of the disciples of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus is alive, and I knew him personally, then it ought to be a dynamic and powerful thing in my life. And if the early disciples who saw Jesus crucified really did see him alive after he had been crucified, surely it ought to have been a dramatic and powerful thing in their life. Had we read further in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, or in John, chapter 20, let's turn to John, chapter 20. And verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. I want you to notice the frame of mind and heart that gripped the disciples after the crucifixion. They were gathered in an upper room, and they had locked the doors. Why? Because they were afraid. Who were they afraid of? They were afraid of the Jews. Then they get the news of the resurrection. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 2, just a few pages. These same disciples, having received the gift of the Holy Ghost, as was promised upon the completion of the resurrection, verse 23 of Acts chapter 2. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Tell me, how would you account for the difference in the disciples? The one moment they're locked in a room for fear of the Jews, the next moment they're out in the city of Jerusalem. They're confronting not only the Jews, but the leaders of the Jewish religion. They're not making any apology. They're not showing any fear. They're declaring to the leaders of the Jewish religion, you took them. You put them to death. God holds you accountable. It's even more than that. They say that the Christ of God whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now you tell me what it was that made the difference. Let's look at the disciples in their lives. Acts 2 tells us they not only confronted the Jewish leaders, they confronted the Jewish leaders on the person of Jesus Christ and who he is, on the death of Jesus Christ and why it happened, and on the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, do you think they would have put themselves in that position of danger if the resurrection hadn't happened? If it really had been a lie? Do you ever look at the alternative to the resurrection? And let me just say, well, that's one of the things we're going to do this evening. There are two stories that come out of Matthew 28. There are two stories that come out of John chapter 20. The disciples come out and they say, Jesus is alive. And the Jewish leaders come out and they say, no, what really happened was the guards fell asleep. And the disciples of Jesus came in quietly while they were sleeping and they rolled away the stone And they stole the body of Jesus. And they stole the body of Jesus so that they can claim that Jesus is alive as he said he would be. Now, it's one thing to steal the body of Jesus. It's one thing to start a lie, which is what the Jewish leader said it was. But it's another thing to go and stand face to face with the people who just a few days before you were locking yourself in an upper room because you were afraid of them. It's another thing to go and stand on their ground and tell them, listen, not only did Jesus die and is he alive, but you killed him. And God holds you accountable. But you know, it's an even greater proof than that, because they claimed that after Jesus was risen from the dead, Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you think if it had been a lie, if the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus, they would have left their homes and everything they had and their loved ones and started going Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world? Do you really think they would have done that to propagate a lie? Well, you say they may have. You know, once you've told a lie, it's hard to admit that it is a lie. Well, would you let a man who died, about whom you had to tell lies about his resurrection, become the center and theme and purpose of your life? I wouldn't. I remember in 1966, when I came to know the Lord, a friend of mine who wasn't saved and still isn't saved came to me and said, how long is it going to last? You and I are so different. We have nothing in common anymore. And I remember saying to Jim Armstrong, I said, Jim, I'm going to make you a promise. If Jesus doesn't satisfy me and fulfill my life as he promises, I'll walk away from it. If it's not real, I won't waste my time living for him. You know, I'm here this morning to tell you, I've never walked away from him, because he has never failed. Salvation, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, is just as real today as it was when I first got saved. The disciples of Jesus allowed this person to become the center and the theme and the purpose of their lives. Would you do that if he didn't really rise from the dead, that you'd had to deceive people into believing that? Then we come to the end of their lives. Peter, Andrew, Paul, Stephen, James. From what history tells us, they died because of their faith in Christ. They were put to death. There is a very graphic account of when Peter was put to death. And the conversation was that even those who were his friends said to him, Peter, all you have to do is deny the Lord and they'll let you live. If they'd stolen away the body of Jesus to make it look as if he rose from the dead, do you think Peter would have allowed them to put him to death? Surely that would be crunch time. Surely that would be the ultimate decision time, when Peter would have said, look, wait a minute. Jesus died, yes, but He didn't rise from the dead. We went when the soldiers were sleeping, we stole the body, and we took it away, and we hid it and buried it somewhere else. Would you die for a lie? Neither would the disciples. Neither would the disciples. Saul of Tarsus hated the followers of Jesus with a passion. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, I saw him. As I was traveling on the Damascus road, I wasn't like the rest of the apostles. I didn't see him in the flesh after he had risen from the dead. But he says, as I was traveling on the Damascus road, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. I heard a voice. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. Peter says, I'm as much an apostle as any of the rest of them. Why? I saw the risen Christ. Jesus is alive. One of the leaders of the Church of England many years ago said that he did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And they went to one of the so-called evangelical preachers in the Church of England and they said, look, the Bishop of York says he does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. What do you feel? And he said, well, I think it's good that the traditions of the church are challenged. You know, that's the danger this Easter morning. That the resurrection is simply a tradition of the Christian church, and that it has no power. It has no reality. It might as well be a lie. The disciples might as well have stolen the body and hidden the body. Do you really believe that Jesus is alive this morning? Do you really believe that death has been conquered? Do you really believe that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty? And that an angel said to the women, those devout followers of Jesus, you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He is risen. Not only is He risen, He is risen as He said. You know what I believe about the disciples who saw the Lord crucified and saw the Lord risen again? I believe that it's the experience of Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's read verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, listen, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I believe that when Peter saw Jesus raised from the dead, for the first time in his life, he really knew that what he believed was true. That Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that when Thomas stood in that upper room and heard Jesus saying, reach hither thy finger and put it into the nail print. And reach hither thine hand and put it into my side. He's saying, Jesus is saying to him, I will give you every proof you will ever need that I am the risen Christ, that I am the one that you saw crucified. You know, if we had read a little further in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, we would have read when Jesus said, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, if you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, if you believe that He's alive, It ought not to be a tradition, but it ought to be a truth that is powerful in your life and in your life's experience. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. When he's writing to the Ephesians, he writes about the power of God in the lives of the believers being the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. What is the power of the resurrection in your life this morning? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Listen to these words, beloved. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Listen. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what the apostle's saying? He's saying that Jesus, the risen Christ, has the power to save. Has the power to save. What were the children singing to us? S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Salvation. Is this a salvation we just talk about, or is this a salvation we have that's real, that's vital? Is this just the subject of a children's song, or is the Bible really true when it says he's able to save? Save to the uttermost. We had an old preacher back in Ireland just after I got saved. He used to come and preach at our Saturday night meetings. I'll never forget him. He used to look around the congregation and he used to say, Jesus can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's it. You see, it's not just that Jesus is alive today. It's that Jesus is alive, and because he's alive, he has power to save sinners. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. The story in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 is Jesus is in the house and the friends bring the man on a bed who's unable to walk. In verse 20, Jesus turns to the man and he says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Does it work? And immediately he rose up. You see, Jesus has power to save because he has power on earth to forgive sins. There are those who would tell you, beloved, that you can't know that your sins are forgiven until after you leave this earth. That's a lie. There are people who would tell you that there's a place between earth and heaven that you can suffer for your own sins and be forgiven. That's a lie. I was speaking to a man a few weeks ago and he gave me his business card. And I read the front of it and put it in my pocket, and it was 2 weeks later that I was searching for something, and I took it out of my pocket, and it says the word Bible on the back of it. And it made me smile because it says, basic instruction before leaving earth. You better get it, beloved. God's basic instruction before leaving earth. Because if you don't have your sins forgiven here on this earth, you will never ever have your sins forgiven for all eternity.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. The power of Jesus Christ to save. The power of Jesus Christ to forgive sins. The power of Jesus Christ to heal the sickness of the human heart. What is the sickness called? It's called sin. And there's only one who can deal with sin and break the chains of sin in the human heart. Who's that? It's Jesus who went to the cross. What does Paul say when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that one of the children quoted to us this morning? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What does it mean? It means that God took all your sins and laid them upon Jesus and punished Jesus for your sin. How am I to know that God accepted that sacrifice? Because of the resurrection. Because God raised him from the dead. Because the Christ who died for our sins was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. And he is the only one who can heal the sickness of the human heart. I want to say something else. He's the only one who has the power to heal relationships between those whose hearts are tightly held in the grip of sin. Tightly held in the grip of sin. One of the greatest thrills I've ever had was in the city of Glasgow, Scotland, when we saw a man who was a drunk, an alcoholic, saved. And I heard him giving his testimony. And he told of the awfulness of sin in his life. But I told him afterwards that his daughter gave a better testimony than he did. For after speaking for 20 minutes and exalting Jesus as Savior, his daughter came to me and put her arms around my neck when the meeting was over. And she looked me straight in the face and she said, Mr. Gould, God gave me my daddy back. the power of the risen Christ. God gave me my daddy back. He lifted him from the depths of sin. And he reestablished a family with a man at the head of the family who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and lived under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ and not under the control of alcohol that once he had lived under. Families have been torn asunder through sin. Children, mothers, fathers have been devastated through sin. Oh, what a message on this Easter morning. The risen Christ can not only heal the sickness of the human heart, he can heal the relationships that have been destroyed by sin. Let me ask you, where are you this Easter morning in relation to Jesus Christ? Do you know the risen Christ as your personal Savior? I love the words of the children again, and they were singing about Acts 16:31. They used those two glorious words, believe and receive. Believe and receive. You know, there are a lot of people today who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus rose again from the dead and this Easter morning he's alive. But many of them have never received him as their personal Savior. In fact, even though they believe in his death and resurrection, there is that within them that says, I don't want to receive him. I won't receive him. I will not have this Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. Even though they say they believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning you celebrate history where believers celebrate reality. You celebrate a historical fact that has nothing to do with you and your heart. I celebrate something. Well, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the one who has forgiven your sins, you celebrate the fact of resurrection, but you know nothing of the purpose and power of resurrection. Jonathan was talking this morning in Sunday school about something Dr. Pankook had said on Wednesday night about the book of James. You know what I believe James is saying in the book of James? Don't tell me you have faith. Show me. Don't tell me you have Christ. Show me. Don't tell me that you believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Show me. Let me see the reality of the power of the risen Christ in your life. Don't tell me that you can't overcome sin, but that you know the power of the risen Christ. Don't tell me that you can desire to live in disobedience, but you know the power of the risen Christ. Don't tell me that you can live as the world lives, but you know the power of the risen Christ. Oh, I thank God this morning that my Savior is alive. And I thank God that my Savior is alive in me. I'm not perfect. I'm a long, long way from it. Truth is, I'm a moment from it. For the moment God takes me home to be with Christ, I'll be perfect. Not until then. But I know this. I have a perfect Savior who's able to save to the uttermost anyone who comes. Anyone who comes. Why is he able to save? Because he ever lives to make intercession for them. Where is Jesus now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? He's waiting. He's waiting to give opportunity for men and women to come to Christ and trust him. He's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. The two things that the resurrection does, it guarantees the judgment of God against the ungodly. And it guarantees the coming of Christ for those who are his. Where are you this morning in relation to the risen Christ? Do you know about him? Or do you know him? Oh, I'm glad I know him. And I'm glad that you can know him. Without moving from your seat, without raising your hand, without walking an aisle, all you need to do is bow your head and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose again. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Our Father, we live in a world that is lost, amongst people whose hearts are darkened and hardened, people whose only hope is in the Christ of God who died and who rose again. Our Father, we pray that you would deliver us from mere orthodox teaching, that you would reveal to us this morning the reality of the power and the purpose of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. That we may be able to say not only that he is alive, but that we may be able to say he is alive in my heart as my Savior and Lord. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Bring us back again in the evening hour to remember the Lord's death, to hear again thy word. In Jesus' name.